Good morning. Last week, we began the topic of Hasagos Gvul, that opening of competition. And we focused on the halachos of a lav bar masa. If an out-of-town investor wants to come and compete with the locals, so we went through the many restrictions that apply. Today, we're going to focus on competition between two natives, two people who are from the same city. What are the halachos? So the Gemara that we learned last week began that Amar Rav Huna, that if there's a bar mavua, someone opens up he has a grinding business. So Rav Huna said, no one is allowed to come into his mavi, into his area and compete. There's an isser of Hasagos Gvul. The Gemara and Baba Basra then went through rayas, yes, no, back and forth. And ultimately at the end of the Gemara, Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua argued and said, if you're a local, if you're a bar master, if you live in the same city, there's no Isser Hasagos Gvul. Just because someone else opened up first, you're also entitled to a parnasa. He does his, you do yours, and there is no Isser competing. Lahalacha, come out all the place, can pass them like Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua, and therefore, as a general rule, as long as both parties are local, there is no Isser of Hasagos Gvul. Everyone does what he wants, competition is encouraged, and Derech Klal, the rule is that it's mutter. There are, however, a number of exceptions and exclusions to this rule that the Rishonim and the Poskim carve out. They're based on the Sugyim Bava Basra and in the Sugyim Bava Metzi that we learned this week and last week. And today I'd like to go through some of the exceptions, but it's important to realize, again, the rule is that Hasagos Gvul is mutter. What we're going to talk about today are the few exceptions where it's us. Now, the first exception is the Gemara in Bava Basra brought down a brisa that marchikim mitzudas hadag min hadag kamali ritzas hadag. That if you have one fisherman and he sets up his trap, he's catching fish in one particular location, you can force everyone else to give. Everyone has to keep their distance. They have to stay far enough away, they won't interfere with this fisherman's catch. So this is a raya that you're not allowed to compete. There's an Isser Hasagos Gvul. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a good raya. Why? Shani dogim diyav siyara. For some reason, fish are special, and therefore, even though Hasagos Gvul normally is mutter, you're allowed to compete however you want. When it comes to interfering with someone's trap, with someone's a fisherman, there it's special, it's awesome. Now there are different pshatim in this Gemara, and each of the pshatim is going to have a tremendous nachkamina lahalacha when it's mutter and when it's awesome to compete. So let's begin with Rashi. Rashi explains what does it mean shani dog and what's special about the fish. So Rashi explains that the case is talking about, it's not just the person putting out a net and whatever fish happened to come into the trap he's going to catch. Rashi's case is we're talking about a big fish, and this fisherman had his eyes on it, he tracked it down, and he figured out where its lair, where its cave was, where it hangs out. You put some bait, and at that point the fisherman knows he's batuach. Within a couple of hours, the fish is going to be his. In that case, where the fish was, you know, in the bag, if you will, it was basically guaranteed he was going to catch it. If you go ahead and interfere with his activities, and you go ahead and you grab that fish, there's an Isser Hasagos Gvul. Based on this, the Chassam Sofer says that although if one person has a store, there's nothing wrong with opening a competing store. If there's a customer that's already in that store, he's about to buy something, and you go over to him in that store and you tell him, by the way, down the block, I can give it to you at a better deal. There the Chassam Sofer says, based on this Rashi, that would be also because of Hasagos Gvul. Now, an interesting case that happened, there was someone who was in Eretz Yisrael, he was waiting in line at a money changer to switch his dollars to shkalim. And while he's sitting there waiting online, there's a bunch of people in front of him, and there's an Israeli in front of him. He's a little curious, why is an Israeli switching dollars to shkalim? So he strikes up a conversation, and it turns out the Israeli has shkalim that he wants to switch to dollars. So he has a wonderful idea. Why should you switch your shkalim to dollars and pay the guy a commission, and then I'll switch my dollars to shkalim? Let's cut a deal right now. I'll switch with you. We'll split the difference halfway, and everyone's happy. According to this Rashi, it's awesome. Since the person was already in the store, he was already, both of them were in the store actually, they were both Shani Dugum Diyav Siyara, right? It was a guaranteed deal, it was there already. So to interfere with someone's parnasa when he's already there about to buy, that will be awesome. Now, this case is pretty clear cut where it's a money changer, there's a set rate. If someone's shopping around and hasn't made a decision to buy, perhaps it wouldn't apply. They're still trying on the shoes or trying to figure out what they like. Maybe it would be different. But at least when it's clear, when the person is ready to pay, he has it, it's a done deal, this halacha would apply.
Does it apply even if you're not trying to take away the deal? You just held it to your friend, you know, down the block, the better, right?
So the Marshal says in a similar case, it's much worse. Because here, ein adam choytzu v'loy loy. Madoch, if you have a business and you're going to try to get the client for yourself where you're going to benefit, still it's usur because you're depriving another person's parnasa. So certainly, if you're just doing it as a favor for him, why should you be doing a favor to the consumer, to the client, at the merchant's expense? What gives you the right to make this judgment call? But we'll get back to that point a bit later. Now, based on this Rashi and based on this Shani Dugum Diyav Siyara, there's another whole discussion we mentioned a few times, the concept of marufia. If a person has a steady client and you interfere with a steady client, there may be a problem. Much of it is based on this Rashi, on this Chassam Sefer, on this halacha. But we're going to put that aside. The general concept of stealing clients we're going to discuss either next week or the week after. But the makar is to a large degree from this sugya, from this halacha. So that's the first pshat. Rashi's pshat that although hasagas kol is mutter, if there's someone who is about to cut a deal, there's a nisr. Tosfos and Kedushin, which some of you may remember from a few weeks ago, says another pshat from Rav Meir, who was the father of Meir Tam, and he says like this: why is this second person coming? And why is he setting up shop right next to the first person's trap? The answer is very simple. The first person put out a trap, he put out bait. You put out bait, so the fish come and they start congregating around the bait. The second person comes, he wakes up a few hours later, comes to the river, he knows, where is he going to find the fish? Hanging out by the first trap. And that's why he wants to come in and put it next to the first trap. Zuck Rav Meir, Hasagas Gvul, competition, that's wonderful. Everyone compete, whoever wins, wins. But in this case, what are you doing? You're coming to take advantage of the first person's efforts. The reason why you want to put your trap here is, the first person got up at the crack of dawn, caught all the worms, the fish, put it out, laid out the bait, all the fish came to him, now you want to come in and swoop in and take advantage of his work. Zuck Rav Meir, although Hasagas Gvul is usually mutter, if you're coming to take advantage of someone else's efforts, and by doing that you're going to interfere with his parnasa, that's going to be awesome. Now, based on this halacha, many poskim say there's a whole issue of intellectual property. You know, copyrights in halacha didn't exist a few hundred years ago. So what happens, a person puts out a tape, a safer, whatever it is, and someone else wants to come along and photocopy it and publish it. Now the second person is just photocopying the first or copying the first work, can put it out much cheaper. He didn't have to produce it. So the Chassam Sofer says, the reason why that's usur is this Shitas Rav Meir. Since what you're doing is, by copying this tape, by copying this safer, you are taking advantage of the first person's efforts, you're taking advantage of his work, and through that, you're competing with him. You're using his work against him and interfering with his parnasa. So this is one of the makairis why intellectual property is also is protected according to halacha. You can't use someone else's work against him to compete with him. Again, if you're getting it for free, you're still interfering with his parnasa. You run into the same problem.
Take selections in certain areas, let's say the safe, you take from the safe and that's it.
Okay, so that intellectual property,
the safe, Savior, you're creating another Savior.
Understood. Intellectual property is a big sugya. I hope to deal with it either next week or when we finish with Hasagas Gvul. But I'd like to focus on just the part that what we see from our sugya today. Now, there's a famous joke about there was a little fish store that was around for a few decades, and now it's a yid, small storefront. One day, some young whippersnapper buys up the building right next door to him, takes three storefronts, and opens up a huge fish store. So with the first storefront, he hangs up a big sign, freshest fish. The next one is a huge sign, cheapest prices. And then at the other one, it's also big advertisement. Puts up the sign, and he sees this old yid with this little dinky store next door that gets up on a ladder and starts taking down his sign. So he realizes, okay, the guy is closing up shop. He realizes he can't compete. It's time to shut down. The next morning, he comes to the store and he sees that this alta yid had taken down his sign. And instead, there was a huge sign in front of his store: "Enter here." Now, besides the issue of Geneva's das, that you're fooling the customers, that we're going to leave aside. That's another sugya. But it would come at it, according to Rav Meir, that would be also. Because there you are, the guy next to you put in all the efforts, all the investment, building this huge store and all beautiful things. And by you hanging up this sign, you're getting all the customers that are trying to get into his store, you're grabbing for yourself. You're taking advantage of his efforts, and according to Rav Meir, that would be also. You know, a similar case, at one point it was in style, people were reserving 800 numbers. Were big companies, and it seems that Americans can't spell that well, so people, when they were dialed, the 800 numbers would be off by a digit or two, or on a web. So what people started doing is they started their own companies, and all the people who called by mistake looking for the other company, once they got them on the phone, they tried selling similar items. So here also, besides the Geneva's Das issue that you'll deal with, that you're fooling the customers, as far as the fact that you're taking away other people's business, since they invested, they got the people to call, they weren't looking for them, that would be an issue. Now, a very common shaila that comes up with this is, in Eretz Yisrael, many people do not have cars, so you take buses. Now, other people take taxis. Where do you catch a taxi? The best place to catch a taxi is at a bus stop. Because what many of the taxis do is that if business is a little bit slow, they'll just drive around, they'll cruise around the streets, they'll pick up people at the bus stops, and they'll do the bus route. They'll charge a couple of shekels more, it's quicker, it's more comfortable, and that's what they do. Now, the halacha, this is going to be awesome. Because why are these passengers waiting at the bus stop? They're waiting at the bus stop because the bus company invested money, put effort, advertising, marketing, they built the bus stop, and through their efforts, the passengers are waiting for the bus. The taxi that's coming along and freeloading on all of that work would, according to Rav Meir, have a very significant problem.
Are they giving you a ride for free?
So what happens if you're driving by, you see a friend, you roll down the window, and you say, "Hop in." So the Pesach Choshen, and there's the Meshav Balacha, and the Minchas Tzvi all say, it's not a problem. A taiva you're allowed to do. Now, on Lanias Dagi, this is not so pashut. If you went through the Igros Moshe that we're in the Maram Kaimis today, Igros Moshe has a case where there was a rav that had a shul. A bunch of the mispalim decided to break off and open their own shul. And the issue was the Sagos Gvul. The first shul had to close. The rav lost his parnasa and he had to close down. And that was the issue. So Rav Meisher starts off by saying that there is Hasagos Gvul. We'll get to later why that's true. And it's also to have a breakaway. Then the Igros Moshe adds, even if you're going to tell me that there shouldn't be Hasagos Gvul, you each have the right, you're both Bar Masas, you're both local, you both have the right to compete. The whole heter to compete is, everyone needs Bar Masas. And simply because one person got there first doesn't mean that everyone, all the children now can't go into business because there's someone there already. So each person can open up his own business, each person can compete, and whatever happens, happens. Zok Igros Moshe, that's only true when the first person is doing it for his business and the second person does it for his parnasa. So we say neither of them has kadima. They each can do what they want. What happens if the first person has a business? That's his parnasa. The second person decides, push it as a chesed, a public service, I'm going to open up and I'm going to compete with the first person. Zakhti Igris Maish, there's no answer for that. What gives you the right? If you're doing it for your panasa, so the first person can tell the second person, no, find another job. You're each entitled to do what you need to do. But if you're doing it just as a chesed, to shut down someone else or to interfere with another person's panasa, Igris Maish says that's even more chum. So it would come out, if you're giving someone a ride, although it's a chesed, according to the Igros Moshe, that would be even more usur than the taxi. Now, if you take this logic all the way, point out, you'll basically have to shut down every gemach. Most gemachs compete with someone. And again, it's a little bit extreme. I don't know of any batei din that actually do this lemaisa, but it's something to keep in mind. When you're doing a chesed, you have to really think about what the effects are. We recently dealt with a case that where a bunch of askarim decided.
Could you explain the rationale of people who say that it's mutter? Could you explain the rationale of why it's mutter? Could you explain the rationale of why it's mutter?
It's because we have to weigh the fact that we have to protect the stores. On the other hand, as a public good, the fact that they're offering a better service, they're offering it for free. And we do find in certain cases of in Hasagos Gavol, the fact that the buyers or the consumers will win out overrides the rights of the merchants. And perhaps you can say here as well, the passenger who's going to get a free ride with a friend, that benefit outweighs the fact that an eged is going to lose a couple of shekels.
So that's relevant whether you're doing it as a chesed or whether it's a chaper or a shvil picking up a kvasta.
Again, it isn't right. To allow one business over another is not a public good. On the other hand, if you're giving it for free, exactly. Now we did deal. 11:15. I'll stop for questions. But we dealt with a case, and it was a very difficult matter. A group of Askanim decided that they were going to go ahead and they're going to start importing clothing from China and selling it at cost price.
Importing
what?
Importing what?
Importing clothing from China and sell it at cost price. Now it's a tremendous chesed, which it definitely is. But on the other hand, if you let them do it without any controls, then it's very nice the aniyim are going to gain. Now they're buying items at really a fraction of the retail cost. On the other hand, you're going to have a lot more aniyim to support because you're going to shut down the entire clothing industry. So it's a delicate balance. You have to do the chesed. You have to take, but if you go too far and you start just opening a gemach, now okay, the next person will open a shoe gemach. The next person we can have a nice communist society where everyone does everything for free. It doesn't seem to work very well.
I guess the taxi where it's common practice for people to understand that.
Okay, fine. It's a good point. Okay, we have a lot to do. At 11:15, I'm going to stop, and we'll have a public question and answer session. So anyway, this is the second Shani Dogam Diyav Siara, that if the first person creates the benefit, then other people can't go ahead and take advantage and tag along if it will hurt the first person. The Rimagash has another pshat, a third pshat, and this is the pshat that comes out that's most relevant in most of the issues of Hasagas Gavol. And what he says is as follows. What he says is, when you put out a trap for a fish, and I don't know much about fishing, but he says if you have one trap, so the fish come, they some of them get caught, and that's how you fish. Once you start setting up two traps, the fish, it seems, send out scouts. You have Sierra Lunacy, they send out like a spy to scout out the area. And once they see there's too much going on, there's something fishy, or whatever fish say when something's fishy. So they go ahead and they all leave. Zagdari Magash, in this case, where by a second person coming in, you're going to just, the whole market's going to shut down. The first person will not catch anything. You're going to shut down his business completely. There it's us. In other words, when you have a business and someone else wants to compete and there'll be two businesses and they'll both be open, so of course they'll hurt each other, but there's enough business to go around. That's Hasagos Gavol, and that's going to be mutter. However, if by the second person coming, he's going to destroy the first person's business, there it's going to be usur, and you can prevent a competition from coming in. Now, based on this halacha, there are a number of tshuvas that deal with similar cases. You have a case where there's a parnasa, there's a job, there's only one person doing it. There's an exclusive importer of a certain goods. If you want to go ahead, you want to go to the manufacturer and try to convince them, dump him, hire me. Here, it's according to the Rima Gasha, it would be awesome. Because this is not a simple question of Asagas Gavol, of having two stores competing with each other. It's a question of directly putting another person out of business. Now, the Avi Yosef takes this step, takes this concept a little bit further. And he's dealing with the following case. A person had a rechayim, he was grinding in an alleyway. And he was at the end of the alley. Someone else came along and opened up a rechayim in the beginning of the alley. What that means is that everyone had to pass this new store before getting to the old store. Zakti Avi Yosef, in this case, no one in his right mind is going to use the old store anymore. It's not as convenient. If it's in a street, so it depends what direction you're coming from. But in an alley where everyone has to pass the first one, everyone who passes is going to stop and use that business. And therefore, Zakhti Avi Yosef, because you're going to completely destroy the first person's parnasa, here everyone agrees you can stop it. Now, this case is obviously a very specific case. Grinding wheat is not a very difficult thing to do. It's a commodity. So no one's going to schlep any further. I mean, today, if you have a pizza shop, people will travel halfway across the country for good pizza. So the location is not going to make that much of a difference. But if it's in a case where, by one person opening up, you're doing something where you're boxing out, now the other person cannot survive, there the Avi Yosef says it's going to be awesome. Now, the Shuvas Ramah that we had in my Makremis this morning, passings like this Avi Yosef, Chasam Sofer, and the Gros Moshe as well, both follow this Avi Yosef. And therefore, they all say that if you're opening up a business and the other person will have to shut down, there's an Isra Asagos Kavol. Now, there are a lot of different, there are many tshuvas about this, and there are many different shitas. But essentially, what comes out is an interesting situation. If you have a business, and another person wants to open up, and there's enough business to go around, two stores can survive. But the first business, who had a monopoly for many years, got lazy. It's a little bit of a schleppy store. He doesn't roll out of bed until 10:30, 11 o'clock. The second person is younger, fresh, he's going to do a better job. And over time, we know good and well, the first one will go out of business. There, no one is going to apply the Avi Yosef. This is the Gemara's case. Hasagos Gavul is mutter. As long as there's enough room for both of them, as long as theoretically they both can survive, there's no Isra Hasagos Gavul, they're free to compete. On the other extreme, if you're dealing with a small location or a small niche which simply can't support two businesses, there, come out all the places would agree to this Rimagash, that we're not going to allow a second one to open up. Because by opening up, his only viable plan is really put the first person out of business and then function. Because there's simply not enough business to go around for two of them. So if the whole business model, the plan is put the first person out and then run a business, that's a case that there's no heter being oisi b'teich shaloi. There you're directly interfering with someone else. And there, according to Rav Poskim, it would be a problem and you could be ma'akev. So the Igros Moshe, the Igros Moshe, if you went through it, says that survival doesn't mean survival. Survival means whatever the norm for that, you know, the normal expenses of that type of person is. So therefore, even if the business was doing $1 million until now, now it's slashed, as long as the owner is earning enough parnasa, which a typical parnasa for that type of person, that's considered, that's fine. It's when he dips to below that, although he's still making money, it's going to be awesome. The Erech Shai has a slightly different guidelines. He says, you just have to look at it. After all of his expenses, is the owner being compensated for the work that he's doing? The business doesn't have to be profitable, it has to be paying his salary. You don't need to be building equity above that. As long as it's paying the salary for his Shkar Tircha, that's enough. If you dip below that, you're going to run into problems.
Would this mean that the competitor opens up and sells below cost to knock the other guy out there?
Yes. So the Erech Shai says that if you're going to be involved in predatory pricing, You're going to drop your slasher prices so low just because you know you have deeper pockets. The other guy is going to go out of business first. The Eruv Shai says, in that case, everyone agrees that it's going to be Asa. And the Jewish Rama also, his case was where the person was slashing prices in order to drive a competitor out of business. There he says everyone would agree that it's Asa. Okay, hold on. You know, look, again, I'll take all questions in 5 minutes. Let me just finish up what we need to do. So this is the third gather. Now I'd like to just switch a little bit and bring out another point. And that is the Gemara in Bava Metzia, the Mishnah, brought down an interesting machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda held lo yifchos es hashar. A person is not allowed to sell goods at below the market value. Bechachamim oimrim zocher latoiv. Not only is it mutter to drop the prices, zocher latoiv, you should be gebenched. Now the Gemara asks, so we have a machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda says a person, if there's a shar kavu, if there's set prices, you're not allowed to undercut the market. And Chacham say you could. So the Gemara says, my time to Rabbanu, what's trying to come that you're allowed to do this? So the Gemara says, Mishum the Karavah Tare, which Rashi explains, that when you drop the prices, we're talking about the retailers. When the retailers drop the prices, they're going to be able to go back to the wholesalers and say, listen, the market went down. You got to give me a break. I can't stay in business now that the prices are lower. The wholesalers are going to have to do that. They're going to drop their prices. So therefore, what a result is, the consumers will get the goods for cheaper, and the merchants won't lose anything. Because although they're selling it for less, their costs are also less. It's a win-win situation. For some reason, we're not concerned about the farmers. I'm not sure why the wholesalers were not concerned about. But at least in the retailers, the consumer wins, the retailer wins, everyone's happy. So the Aruch HaShulchan and the Panim Iris make a beautiful deal. If I told you this halacha, this is a machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda says you can't drop the prices. Chum say no problem. So, which is the default? Which is the pashtus? So let's look. The Gemara says, "My time the Chacham." Gemara wants to know why do the Chacham let you cut prices? Which means that the Gemara understood Yehuda very well. It should be usur if there is a set price and you want to undercut the market. It should be usur. The Gemara wants to know what's behind the Chacham. Why are you allowed to? And then the Gemara answers, "You know why you're allowed to? Because in this case, when you drop the prices, the wholesalers are going to drop the prices. Everyone, it's a win-win situation. It's mashma. That if that's not going to happen, if you're just going to undercut the market and now you're going to force the sellers to take a loss, it sounds like it would be awesome. And the Aruch HaShulchan and the Panim Iris both say it's also for a person to undercut the market. Oh, beautiful. So the Divrei Chaim and a number of others argue. And the Divrei Chaim speaks out that no, that's not the pshat. Really, he says, this is Divrei Pasha, you want to undercut, you want to lower the prices, go ahead, lower the prices. Why does the Gemara want to know what's pshat in the Chacham? Because the Mishnah doesn't just say, Rav Yehuda says it's also to lower the prices, the Chacham says it's mutter. The Chacham says you should be given, zachar l'toy, you should have a bracha on the person. The Gemara's kasha is, why is it a bracha? It's true you're helping out the consumers, but you're hurting the other merchants. So you want to do it. But why? What's this tremendous accomplishment for Klal Yisrael that you're getting a bracha? And then the Gemara says the kamar v'tare. It's you get a bracha because the consumer wins out, prices are lower, the merchants don't get hurt because their costs go down, and therefore you get a bracha. If that's not the case, if the case is the prices for the merchants will lose out, the Rav Chaim says, it's not Osir, it just means it's not Zachar L'Toyv. And therefore the Rav Chaim and the Beis Ephraim and many others, and this is really consensus of Rav Pleiskin, can say that it's not Osir. If a person wants to lower the prices, it's Mutter. So what will come out is, if you want to lower the price a few dollars to cut a deal, so there if you look carefully, even the Panim Iris is Moida, that's okay. If you're going to undercut the market significantly, so here we have the Divrei Chaim that argues on the Panim Iris, and again, it's a Divrei Chaim, it's a Beis Ephraim, and it's Mashmoyis Ramon, and Simon Resh Chaches. So according to Rav Pleiskin, it's going to be Mutzer, and you're not going to be able to stop it. On the other hand, if you slash it so far down that it's predatory pricing, you're just going to knock the other person out of business, and you're just doing it to get him, but you're not earning a profit. Here the Eruv Shai says, Kuliyam Loi Pligi, everyone would agree that it's Osir, that's not called legitimate competition. If you're knocking it down, it's not predatory. You know, you're still making money. but you've knocked it down so low that your other competitors can't exist, that would run into a question of the Avi Yosef. According to the Avi Yosef, when you're opening up the store in the beginning of the alleyway, if by doing that the competitors can't stay in business, it would be usher. Many places can argue, but halacha, it's difficult to stop a person. Again, but they didn't have different attitudes. How much they'll go with this Avi Yosef? They'll generally try to work out a pshara, some sort of arrangement where the two of them can survive. But as far as strict halacha, it's very difficult to enforce this Avi Yosef in such a case, because there are many places that argue and say that as long as you're not doing anything to hurt predatory pricing, as long as your practices are legitimate, if you're able to cut the prices and take a bigger market share, according to most places, that would be mutter. The Ramah's case was actually an interesting case. Maran Padova was the Gadol Hador at that time. And he printed a Rambam. Now when he printed the Rambam, he didn't just print the Rambam. He went through the Rambams, he fixed up all the mistakes, he wrote a Pirush on the Rambam, and he invested a fortune to print it. Now it seems back then there were two competing printing presses that were competing for the Svara market. He chose one. The other owner, who was a Goy, got very upset because it was a slap in the face. The Gadol Hador was using the competition, so he went ahead and he printed a Rambam just to do in the Maran Padova. What he did is he printed the Rambam. He sold it at way below value. He was losing money on the deal. To add insult to injury, he sold the Maran Padova's Pirush on the Rambam. He put it in along with the Hakdama that this is a lousy Pirush. People probably aren't going to want to look at it, but just in case, because we want to make our customers happy, we're putting everything here. And that's what happened. Now, the Ram Padova was basically faced with ruin. Because when you sell Rambams, and you're selling them for, it was two zehuvim, it was slashed, the mice in the market for Rambams are Jews. Now, the Jews have a choice between the more expensive Rambams. Everyone was buying the cheaper one. So the Ramah wrote a tshuva defending the Ram Padova. And he wrote four reasons why it's usur to buy the cheaper Rambam. He starts off by saying that the other one had mistakes in the girsa. So it's like take the Sefer Shein Mugo, it's usur to have. He then goes ahead and says, Haslagos Gavul. Since this guy was undercutting the market, and he was undercutting it to the extent that Ram Padova, he was driving Ram Padova out of business, therefore he says, Haslagos Gavul, it's usur. Now the Ramah had a problem in this case. Because Haslagos Gavul, when we're talking about the Yisr, usually we're talking about the store. A store can't open up if it's going to do Haslagos Gavul. This case, the guy wasn't asking L'shaila. So Ramos has a tremendous chumrah. He says if a store violates Haslagos Gavul and opens up when he can't, not only is it usur, there's a storekeeper over in Isser, you're not allowed to walk into the store. You're not allowed to buy it. And therefore he said it's usur to buy the Rambam from this guy. You have to look through it. He basically says that you have the right to enforce dinim, and if this is the halacha that it's also room to do it, and this is how we can enforce it, so he makes an isser on, and this is very negev, because it means whenever there's a every once in a while you hear about these dinei Torah between either different with svarim or with stores, you have to find the clients, the consumers have to find out who's right, because if it's hakeh esas hagos gavul, they may not be allowed to shop there.
In determining what would put another one out of business, which in that case it would be also, though normally a competition would be mutter. A common example, let's say you have fish stores, right? The individual fish stores. It becomes a new, which has become very popular in the last couple of decades. You'll have supermarkets, a grocery store with a ready-made substance, and he will now add a fish department. So he no longer will have the expense of paying rent for another store.
Excellent. So two points. First of all, a general observation, whenever you have a din Torah with Haslagos Gavul, it's very much an uphill battle. To prove Haslagos Gavul. Because the person making the claim has to prove there's not enough business for both of them. How do you prove that? You have to go, come to the Beis Din, pull out all your books, and prove the market isn't big enough. If it's a suffix, it might be able to, you're not going to be able to stop it. So the first point is it's very difficult to prove. It has to be very clear that simply the market is not big enough for two stores. It's a very difficult thing to prove. Now, as far as the fact that the store doesn't have expenses, So there are a number of tshuvas in similar cases. There's a tshuva of Lechem Ravsin Reish Tezvav. It has a case where a villager came into a big city. The villager had very low expenses, not much in the way of rent. The standard of living there was much lower. And he was able to provide services at half the price. The Divrei Akil has a similar case where a few single girls decided to open up a factory. They were living at home, they had no family to support. They were able to, their profit margin and sell things for much less. In both of the cases, the psak over there was that it's mutter. Because they didn't follow the Avi Yosef, and as long as what they were doing made sense business-wise for them, that's not predatory pricing. If they have an advantage, they have cheaper rent, they have every right to pass it along, that's competition, that's good. The Avi Yosef would likely argue. And the Avi Yosef would probably, or at least the Chassam Sofer perhaps also, would say, since they have a competitive advantage the other person cannot meet, the fish store can't go ahead now and just start selling groceries. It's not going to work. So if they can't meet it and they can't match it, perhaps they'll be able to be ma'akev.
What about not the whole line? A guy has what we call loss leaders. In other words, certain items, he knows he can get people into the store. He's willing to lose money on this.
So if it's just one thing, the other example of the Mishnah, I skipped the first part of the Mishnah. The first part of the Mishnah is that the Machlokes, if you just said you're not allowed to give out candies to the kids, because they're all going to come to you. The Chacham say you're mutter. The Gemara asks, what's Pshat the Chacham? So the Gemara says, you know, he gives out candies, you can give out nuts. Since the other person can do it as well, it's common practice to have loss leaders. You have one specific thing to draw a customer in. Since the other person can do it as well, it would be mutter. On the other hand, again, if you slash your prices for a couple of weeks because you drive the other person out of business, that will be very different. But to have one or two things just to get people in the store, that's a normal business practice and that would be okay.
Are we focusing on its intentions or the nature of the market?
What do you mean, nature of the market?
Meaning, if the other guy will get hurt to the extent that he can't survive, so then it's a problem.
We're focusing not so much whether he's a bad person or a good person. We're focusing on whether what he's doing makes financial sense for him, or the whole point is to hurt the other person. A loss leader is done because although you're selling a certain item at a low cost, You're selling, you know, you're the guy's coming to the store and you're going to hopefully sell a lot more. It makes financial sense. So it makes sense for you, it makes sense for your competitors, you can both do it.
So if a person makes a big inventory sale twice a year, because even though he's selling below cost, but that makes
sense. He's moving merchandise. Everyone does that, correct. Correct.
How does Indira Jalapus apply in this, for example, intellectual property is copyright for X amount of years?
Intellectual property, we'll get, again, that's a separate share. But Dina Malchus Adina is one of the stronger arguments in favor of intellectual property.
Could you expand? I think you said the questions you were asking before about the people who are waiting, let's say, at a bus stop, and someone wants to pick them up as a chesed, whether it's their friend or not, they want to pick them up as a chesed. I'm driving from Borough Park to Muncie and I'm in an empty car. I say, why don't I stop by the place where people are waiting for the Muncie bus and take people back with me and do a chesed. So you mentioned that the Moshe said it's usher, and you say chesed and chesed or matir, but you didn't really explain the side of the matir. I'm interested to hear it.
So
I just want to make this point. I understand people have been giving people rides for thousands of years. And I come along, and I reach a album, and I put a pole. Now, all of a sudden, the same guy, he didn't write all the time to people, right? So now, because I put a pole there, so now I'm being asked to my whole chesed, right? You take it from this, and I can also get that guy.
Okay, so let's take a step back. If for thousands of years, on your way to work, you stopped by in a certain spot and picked up workers, picked up passengers, there's no question. We're dealing with a situation where, if you met a guy in shul, you'd offer him a ride. That's what you did until now, and that's certainly still mutter today. What you're doing now is that when you want to do chesed, instead of turning around in shul and asking anybody if they need a ride, you go straight to the bus stop and pick people up. People at a bus stop are waiting there, not at a coincidence. It's not just a place on the side of the road where they're there because the bus company invested money, advertised, and got them there. So now what you're doing is you're going ahead and you're taking advantage of their effort to do your chesed at their expense.
Because they put effort.
If the people just are there, they've always been there wandering around, not sure how they're getting to work, and you want to offer them a ride, go right ahead. But when they're there because the bus company spent money, built a bus stop, advertised, and they're there waiting for the bus, and you're going to use their effort and their work against them, even though you're doing a chesed, that's hasagas gevul. What? Fine. If Shomer Shabbos, if there's a place where everyone waits, if it's a place where people come for rides, when you're coming out of Lakewood, there's a stop. People wait for rides and they wait for the bus.
So what is the
Tzad of Matirim is that just like last week, there's a concept of a law of Armosa. Someone an investor out of town cannot come in and open a business and compete and hurt with the locals. Afal Pinkain, the Rimagash says, if the out of town store is going to sell things cheaper and a significant discount, they're allowed to. Why? Because although it's going to hurt the merchants, it's for the benefit of the townspeople. They can buy things cheaper. And therefore, the Rimagash says the benefit to the consumer outweighs the benefit to the merchants, and it's going to be mutter. That's the Rimagash. Now, if you take that argument and apply it to this situation as well, then we can say, although it's going to hurt the bus company, and there's an argument of Hasagas Gevul, since these people are giving rides and they've been doing this for thousands of years, it's for the benefit of the people, the consumers, to be able to still get free rides, perhaps it would be mutter. That is probably where they're coming from. Correct. A gemach, by definition, is there's a benefit for the townspeople. So for, that would be the tzad that it's mutter. Gains that overrides, exactly.
Let's say I have to have 100 copies of a very popular saying. And I walk into Tuvius. I walk into Tuvius with people rushing in. And I say, well, the people who are about to buy the safer in Tuvius in the smart store, I say, listen, I give people.
Okay, that case is worth. There is a concept, I shouldn't say everyone agrees, Machlokes Ramban and Rimagash, but halacha we hold like this Rimagash, that an outsider that's going to sell for cheaper, we let him come in. That means he can come into the city. Does that mean I can go into my competitor's store and start giving things out for free? That's an extreme. There we have Rashi's shot in Shani Dugan's Yav Sierra, where you're the guys in the store, that's much more chomer. So lav davka, are they going to go so far? Where are they going to draw the line? You'll have to ask them, but that's
not for you to repeat that in the case of thinking of people with bus, is it like hey, get paid for the bus, in other words, in the case of
correct.
The bus,
that's
people are just telling you be on this in this corner.
Fine.
In the case of coppers, there's an official at the bus stop that's paid for shelter, that's paid for by Eget.
And a chan? That would be the issue. Right. That would be the issue.
They're coming from both. What they do, they come from the street. In any case where there might otherwise be this or substance. How does the product differentiation, backwards and mix? For example, take the case of your shul. What if the shul, there's only one shul that survived, and he has, say, 930 million, and another group comes along and breaks away, we want to make an 830 million.
Usually it's the other way around. Usually the new shul has the better.
Yeah, we want to be shul that says, good job to everybody on the shul.
It's like this. In the case of the Ramban and the Rimagash, when you deal with a lav bar masa, there the halacha is clear. If the outsider is bringing in better merchandise or even different merchandise, these halachos do not apply. That's in a case where an outsider is coming to do business in the town. In contrast, that Igros Moshe, that only had part of the tshuva, the case was there was a shul. People did it, the rav and the congregation didn't get along that well. The Rav apparently used to call the congregants communist Rishoyim. They didn't like, it was a different nusach. And there was tension from day one. Igros Moshe says, nothing doing. If until now you were able to survive in the shul, in this little room, he says it's also for another person to open up. It's a very big chiddush. I think in general, if it's a completely new, for example, I mean, theoretically, you drive a car, right? Now, at some point, people are driving horse and buggies. The car dealer that opened up put every horse and buggy dealer out of business. And it's worse than a regular Asagos Gavol. You, the guy, can't compete. You're knocking him out completely. So if the other place can say, it's true, the end result of selling cars is the horse and buggy people will be out of business. But it's not called competition. One person selling cars, one selling horse and buggies. Over time, the market for horse and buggies will disappear, but it's not direct competition. So if you're dealing with a product which is different, and the place can say that you're not going to have a problem. If it's the same, just a little twist or a little different color, it's, you know, the argument won't make it that far.
Let's say that you don't want to get Rothschild, right?
Let's talk about theoretical cases.
Let's say that
this is being recorded.
Let's say the place, certain bus stop, goes to a certain destination, goes to Baltimore, okay? Now, the people, the CS environment, consumers would much rather get a ride to Baltimore than go to a bus. Why?
Okay.
It's not comfortable, and it's a little nicer. If the guy, the passenger, who goes to a bus stop and goes to a bus in Baltimore, he's going to
bus stop. For example, in Lakewood, there are places where there's a bus stop and a ride pickup. And people go for both. Sure. And Adarab, I'm not even sure which came first. It could be the bus, a lot of the buses stop there because they know people used to always wait there to hitch rides. In that case, you're not going to have this sort of mayor because, you know, they're coming for both. And it could be, I don't know the Metzias, at some point in Eretz Yisrael, if it's so prevalent and so common that this is where the taxis go, it could be you'll lose at least the first sheet of the Chassam Sefer because they came out for both. You'll have an issue perhaps of the investment, but at least the first issue you'll lose.
What?
So again, there are two separate issues. There's an issue of the first Chassam Sefer that if they're betuach, they're in the store, you can't pull them out.
Right.
That will depend on the metzias. If they wait there, waiting for the taxi or the bus, whichever comes first, then they're not betuach for the bus company. Because again, they're dir meikara, waiting to see who's going to get there first. The second issue was Rav Meir, was an issue of investment,
right,
that if they paid for it. That arguably may still apply. But on the other hand, if they pay for a bus stop, but the reason why people are coming here are not directly because of the paid bus, they're coming here because it's a convenient place to wait for both a taxi and a bus, it probably would not apply. Again, it'll depend on the Metzias. It's for your own benefit. And again, Hasagos Gavul is, if it was Hasagos Gavul, I don't think the fact that it's for your benefit is, it would make it mutter. Just like if you're a taxi driver, it's also for your benefit. You're going to charge. If it's not Hasagos Gavul, then fine. But that point, the fact that you're not gaining doesn't necessarily make it better. We can deal with the fact that the lekach gain, it's for the benefit of the consumer. That's that issue. But the fact that you're, whether you're an official competitor or just haphazard, I don't think will make a difference.
I think
If you've reached a point where they come out, I'm going out to catch a taxi or bus, whatever comes first, and a chami won't have it. On the other hand, if they're there for a bus, but if gratis someone comes and offers them a ride, they'll take it. That's not going to change anything because, you know, it's always true. Every time you walk into a store, if someone gives it to you for free, you'll take it. It doesn't take away a second.